WVYC's Perspectives is a weekly look at the people and programs that make up the York College community. This program looks at the issues that impact our college environment. This week's host is Jeffrey Schiffman. Welcome to Perspectives. And again, our program is a weekly program, a podcast as well as on the air here on WVYC. This week, we are going to be talking with Linda Miller. She is the Director of Student Accessibility Services here at York College. Linda, welcome, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Let's talk about you personally. What brought you to York College? What made you part of the staff here? And talk a little bit about what the things you do with your job.
Okay, great. Well, I was attracted to York College because I always wanted to work in higher ed. Okay. My background has been in vocational rehabilitation, which I have my master's degree in rehab counseling. And for about 25 years, I worked with adults with different disabilities in various capacities. But ultimately, the mission of most of my previous jobs has been trying to help individuals with disabilities get to work. And when I was actually laid off from a position, and I thought, well, maybe here's my chance to do what I always wanted to do, get into higher ed, which I had trouble doing previously because they always want experience.
Sure.
In higher ed. So I actually came here starting in academic advising. And I thought, well, here's my foot in the door. So I came in as an academic advisor about 8 years ago. And I think when the person who hired me at that time, services for students with disabilities as a separate office did not exist here. But I think they saw that coming and they saw my background. And I think they thought too, oh, here's our foot in the door to get someone with that kind of experience to eventually start up an office for us.
Sometimes there's a nice marriage there by happenstance,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
So when this office was created, did you anticipate that you would see as many students as you see? I know enough a little bit about it, and I've obviously, if you've taught here at the school, you have some students who you realize are getting services from your office. Are you surprised by that number, or, I guess what's your reaction to that?
Well, somewhat, but not incredibly, because if you look at the national trends, which I did study when I first started doing this here, about 10 to 11% of undergraduate students across the country are those students who have requested accommodations. When I started, we were maybe 3 to 4%.
Okay.
We slowly inched up and we are close to 10% now. And I think that's because we are now a separate office. And I have actively marketed, so to speak, the office to the campus so that students and faculty are aware that we're here and what we do. So we do have more students seeking us out and asking for that type of support.
When you say accommodations and That's a very broad word, and I think that some people would recognize that there would be certain students that would need accommodations. Mm-hmm. A student in a wheelchair, a student with maybe, other issues that we might talk about. But that's not just it. It's not just about accessibility. It's much more than that.
Right.
Give us the scope of what
Sure.
some of the areas that you might deal with.
So yeah, accessibility certainly doesn't refer just to physical access, although
right.
that is something we try to keep on top of as well. But accessibility means equal access to your education. And actually, the largest group of students that I work with, I have 350 about right now, by far the largest group are those with learning disabilities, those with ADHD. That's the largest group right there, any combination there of those
right.
two. But we also have an increasing number of students with mental health issues. We have an increasing number of students on the autism spectrum. We then also do serve students with blind, who are blind or have visual impairments, who are deaf or hard of hearing. And also any student with a chronic health condition. I assist students with mobility issues related to arthritis, but also diabetes, fibromyalgia, Crohn's disease, things like that, that these are maybe not necessarily normally think of as disabilities, but health conditions that can impact their ability to fully meet their academic potential. So anyone who has any type of physical or mental obstacle to doing their best academically, we try to see what we can do to support them.
And these are usually students that have been diagnosed. It's not somebody, some student has to have some evaluation.
Yes.
It's not just I don't feel good today.
Right,
I'm
going
to
go
to the disabilities office and say I can't take that
test. I have had students try that. But, for a student to be eligible for accommodations, they do need to provide me with some sort of documentation that justifies the need for accommodations. I have my own application process, and I interview them. We talk about what their needs are and take it from there.
All right, let's talk about students that are interested in these services. When they come in, what's the process that they're going to go through? Well, first of all, how do they get in contact with you?
Right. So I think a lot of students, if they're incoming freshmen, they find me through our website.
Okay.
Or through, work collaboratively with the admissions office. And if they won't mention to their admissions counselor that they may need accommodations, the counselor refers them to me. I have gone out and spoken to local high schools as well for transitioning seniors, things like that. We try to make sure that information about accessibility services is in all the accepted student day information, orientation information. Professors' syllabus statement should include something about it. So, we try to get it out there. It's not a part of the admissions process, however. They do not need to disclose anything about a disability through the admissions process. And in fact, they don't need to disclose it at all. It's totally voluntary as to whether or not they come to me and request accommodations. But once a student is accepted, if they do want to have accommodations set up, they simply need to contact me. I'll let them know, and it's also on the webpage what the documentation guidelines are. They do an application, and we do an initial meeting to get their what we call accommodation memo set up. That's what they show their professors, so the professors know what they're eligible for.
Some of the things, and there has to be sort of a curve for this. I'm sure that when you said you've been here 8 years. I'm sure when you started 8 years ago, the community itself, the York College community, probably was not as aware as it is now. There were certain buildings that were not accommodated for, even a student in a wheelchair. Campbell Hall, the building you're in, does not have an elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Difficult for a student to get to a second floor. How have you seen that evolution as time has gone on?
Well, I think having more students who are wheelchair users or scooter users has kind of forced the issue. And actually, when I started here, there was not a student using a wheelchair on campus.
Oh, wow.
But since then, we've had 7 or 8, and several of them have been residential students. So not only do we want to make sure they have access to the campus, we're legally obligated to make sure they have access
and,
as well.
And we're legally obligated through federal law, the American with Disabilities Act.
Correct. It
says that we have to have that accommodations for them.
Right. Yeah. And, there's some things we can't get around, the topography of the campus. There's some hills and things that make it difficult for some students, especially if they're in a manual wheelchair. We have some automatic doors. That's one thing we'd like to improve is have more. The issue about Campbell Hall, that's the only location on campus. There's one level of Campbell Hall that students can't get to, but other than that, all buildings have elevators and are accessible. I've had interest recently from both the Student Senate as well as the Student Welfare Committee coming to me saying, can we work with you on an accessibility map and other accessibility issues? So it's really great to see that from both faculty and students, there's a growing interest in that whole subject.
So you're saying that the awareness is certainly out there. among the campus community. It sometimes just takes a little longer to get to go through the process. It's not like we snap our fingers and something
happens.
Oh,
it's definitely a process. Yeah. it's going to take some time, but like I said, having the students that have gone through already who were wheelchair users has definitely helped to, you know, curb cuts were put in where they were needed and things like that. So
what do you see as the future? Where do you see, do you see this becoming just sort of ingrained in our everyday lives here at the college? We're seeing goodness. You said you've seen a growth, and we had no wheelchair-bound students 8 years ago. We certainly are seeing a lot more students come in with mental health issues and ADHD as that's mm-hmm. become much more identified in the broad. Do you see that continuing to grow?
To an extent, yes. I mean, already this semester, I'm seeing that my numbers are going to increase again this year.
Okay.
So I do see that. I certainly do hope that we have broader campus awareness. That certainly has grown as well. I try to do faculty development workshops as much as I can. Just the students being in the classroom and the more students having the accommodation memos, I think has broadened awareness as well. Another area that, there's a couple things going on that are newer to the whole field of accommodations. And one is accessible technology is this year supposed to be actually written into the law, specific guidelines for websites as well as classroom content being fully accessible to blind students and deaf students. So, for example, all videos should be captioned. All pictures and graphs and things like that on websites should have alternate text for the blind. And that's something that I think is scaring people a little bit because it's kind of a big topic.
Right.
But we're that's another area where the faculty is getting involved, and we are creating a committee of people from across campus, staff and faculty, to address that issue and make it more of a ingrained thing that people think of because it's a lot easier to do from the start rather than to do retroactively, you know? Another big issue that I think people are seeing more of on campus that's kind of bringing more awareness in general are the animals on campus. We now have 3 service dogs on campus who are allowed to go anywhere their owner goes. And their owners are all students, so they're in the classroom, they're in the dining halls, the library. And we also have a growing number of emotional support animals in the dorms for students with mental health issues. And again, they've, you know, provided documentation to show that this is something that helps them be successful. But I think, you know, animals always attract people. And so I think that's kind of in helping to bring awareness to the issues as well.
Linda Miller, the Director of Student Accessibility Services here at York College, thank you very much for joining us and appreciate your time.
Thank you.
WVYC Perspectives is a production of the staff of WVYC. York College of Pennsylvania owns and operates WVYC, and any and all content is solely the property of York College. Jeffrey Schiffman serves as the executive producer of WVYC Perspectives. WVYC Perspectives can be heard Monday and Friday morning at 10 a.m. on 88.1 FM. Downloads of the WVYC Perspectives podcast are available at the WVYC Podbean site, wvyc.podbean.com. Join us next week for another edition of WVYC Perspectives.